This is the Thursday night Bible study. We're studying Proverbs chapter 18. Remember, Proverbs is about wisdom. Wisdom is knowledge, understanding, experience equals wisdom. And when you get wisdom, you get discretion. We have gone through the first 16 verses of Proverbs 18, so we're going to start on 17. 17, 18, and 19 literally are saying the same thing. They're talking about winning your brother over. It says in 17, "He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and searches him out." It literally says, you may think that you have won your case until your opponent speaks. In Matthew chapter 5, verses 23 to 25, it says, "If you have a gift that you're bringing to the altar, and you remember that your brother has aught against you," it says, "leave your gift and go to your brother and win your brother over. Then come and give your gift to God." Because it also says in 25, it says, "If thine adversary agree with thy adversary quickly, while thou art in the way with him, lest at any time the adversary deliver thee to the judge, and the judge deliver thee to the officer, and the officer cast you into prison." It also goes on that you will not get out until you pay every cent. God's talking about agreeing with your brother, whether that you're at fault or they're at fault. It is because we need to be at peace with our brother, with our brethren. Okay, there is no reason for us to be angry or upset or want to throw them out of the house. Peace is what God wants. Our fellowship is with Jesus. That's the fellowship that we have with each other, is with through Jesus. And with that, we should be peaceable, because the Word of God is peaceable to us. And He wants us to have peace. Now, it says, the lot in verse 18, "The lot causeth contention to cease and parteth between the mighty." It also says this lot that he's talking about, if you can't resolve the issue, if the issue cannot be resolved at all, the high priest had inside of his garment in a little pocket, he had lots. Actually, like they're like dice, okay? And he would cast the dice, and it would be either yes or no. They were called Urim and Thummim. They would settle an issue. If an issue could not be settled peacefully between brethren, they would take it to God, and God would settle the issue. It was called Urim and Thummim. And in Exodus 28:30, God talks about the Urim and Thummim, where that it would settle, it would be judgment, the bare judgment of the children of Israel. When the high priest cast a lot, that was it. It was over, because that was God speaking. And then you had to abide by it. In verse 19, it says, "A brother offended is harder to be won than a strong city, and their contentions are like the bars of a castle." I've done it. I know you've done it. You've offended your brother. Your natural brother or your brother in the Lord, you've offended them. You've done something that was contrary to them, and it hurt them. And that hurt is hard to get over. And it says it's harder to be won than a strong city. And that's, you're talking about laying siege, you know, on a strong city to defeat it. Okay? It is harder. But we have to go to our brethren and ask them to forgive us, and that we can be restored, and they can restore us, and we can restore them to where the hurt does not stay. Because that anger or that bitterness or that resentfulness will turn into bitterness, it will turn into anger, it will turn into all kinds of awful things that we as Christians don't want to have. So God is saying, go to your brother, settle it. Settle it once and for all. And if you can't settle it, it says to go to two or three people as witnesses to settle it. If that doesn't settle it, you take it to God. And when you take it to God, God will give you an answer, and that's the end of it. And it's sometimes ego, it's personal hurts, it's whatever. But once God settles it, it's over. It doesn't make any difference what you think. It's over. And that's what God's saying. In verse 20, it says, a man's belly shall satisfy with the fruit of his mouth, and with the increase of his lips shall he be filled. So, good words make you glad. There's an expression that most people know. It's called eating crow. Saying things that are untrue or wrong, or and you have to take them back. It's not pleasant, you know, but we've all done it. We've said things that were just, you know, off, and that we had to take back. In Ecclesiastes chapter 5, 2, it says, be not rash with thy mouth, and let not thine heart be hasty to utter anything before God, for God is in heaven, and thou on earth. Therefore, let thy words be few. And it's the truth. You don't open your mouth unless it's to bless. Jesus said it himself. Can blessing and cursing come out of the same mouth? No, it can't. It's either blessing or it's cursing. In verse 21, it says, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. We have power in our tongue. We can speak into existence things. That's the positive side. We can speak into existence the things that God will do for us. Faith cometh by hearing, hearing by the word of God. Faith is the evidence of things not seen. Okay? But we speak them and they come into existence because we're asking God to bring it from heaven to earth. Life and death are in the power of the tongue. In James chapter 3, verses 5 and 6, it says, even so, your tongue is a little member and boasts great things. Behold how great a matter a little fire kindleth. The tongue is a fire and a world of iniquity. So is the tongue among our members, that it defileth the whole body and set on fire the course of nature, and it is set on fire of hell. If you don't control your tongue, if you don't let God control your tongue, it is set on fire from hell. And it will start things that you just don't want to happen. And let's go on to verse 22. Verse 22 says, whosoever findeth a good thing, findeth a wife, findeth a good thing, and obtains favor from the Lord. It is, a man's greatest treasure is his wife. She is a gift from the Lord. It says, house and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. And that's the fact. It's absolutely a fact. And if it doesn't line up with that, well, that's where you pray and you seek God. And it is indeed. Thank you, Jesus. In verse 23, it says, the poor uses entreaties, but the rich answers roughly. The poor will beg for help, but the rich can give a harsh answer. It's an attitude. It's an attitude that, you know, we're all to have, is that we really don't have anything. I mean, everything that we have is God's gift. Everything. There's nothing that we don't have that's not from God. So there's no reason to have an attitude of that I deserve it or it's mine, I acquired it, you know, I did it myself. It's foolishness. God does not want people to go around thinking that they did it. God says to walk humbly with him. That means to humble yourself before God. The poor uses entreaties, will pray, will ask, will seek, okay, where a rich answer roughly. It's just topsy-turvy. The way that we're supposed to do it, again, is to seek God humbly and let him then know that what we have is what God gave. In verse 24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly, and there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Years ago, I had started going to this church when I got saved, and nobody was talking to me, nobody was saying hello, nobody was, you know, anything, you know, and they would, you know, be about their business and go into Sunday church, or, you know, whenever they were there, but nobody ever spoke to me, and I go, God, what is wrong? And God showed me this scripture, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And so what I did is I stood at the door of the church. I went early and stood at the door of the church and began shaking hands and introducing myself. And I did it for, oh Lord, quite some time. And guess what? Everybody in the church greeted me. Everybody said hello. Everybody said goodbye. Everybody was talking to me. Because I showed myself friendly, and I wanted to have that. I wanted to be part of the fellowship. And the other part of that scripture says, there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. Of course, who they're talking about is Jesus. Jesus is the only brother that will never leave me nor forsake me. In Hebrews 13:5, it says that. It says, let your conversation be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. For he hath said, I will never leave thee or forsake thee. God is always there. He's always with us. That friend that we have. You know, Moses was called the friend of God. And it was because he walked closely with God. And that is the most important thing that God wants. God wants us to be close to him and to walk. To bridle our tongue, to be careful what we do with our brothers. You know, this is wisdom. This is knowledge. Now, the understanding is when you apply it, okay, and you get the experience, all right, you can apply it the other way, but it's harder to correct it than it is to do it right. And once you do, it becomes wisdom. And once you have wisdom, it becomes discretion. Well, this is where I'm going to end. We're end of chapter 18. We'll take it up next time.